World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Hey, pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
You know, ultimately, folks, it comes down to this. Ultimately, I'm sorry, I'm looking at something over here. We can say all we want to. All the problems, all the things that we have going on in America, come down to this. I'm looking at something here on my screen. Bear with me a second. Thou shalt not covet. Thou shalt not covet. Now, Sheldon, I'm flying by the seat of my pants. Go to Webster's Dictionary for me real quick, Sheldon, if you can pull that thing up there. It's by the way, that's number 10 of the Big Ten. Thou shalt not covet. And just because it's the number, like, you know, there's the Bill of Rights, right? 10 Amendments, states' rights. And just because coveting happens to be number 10 doesn't mean it's less important, right? It's less important. All the problems that we see going on in America, not all of them, 85, 90% of them are based on this very thing right here, to covet. What does that mean, to covet? Well, covet, according to Webster, is a verb. It's a transitive verb. It means to desire or wish for with eagerness, to desire earnestly to obtain or possess, in a good sense. But it's also to desire inordinately. To desire that which is unlawful to obtain or possess, in a bad sense. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, thy neighbor's wife, the servant. Click on Exodus 20, verse 10 right there, if you will. Sheldon, right in the middle. Click on that. Thou shalt not covet. That you shall not desire to unlawfully obtain anything that involves your neighbor, not his wife, not his manservant, nor his maidservant. Wow. Not his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that belongs to his neighbor, you shall not desire to have unlawfully. So we're in the mess that we're in because somewhere along the line, and I don't know why, and I don't know how, we could probably trace it back and we could probably figure it out. We enforced the government or employed the government or enacted the government with the ability to covet what you want from someone else. That's what our government's become, folks. Coveting. Coveting. I want that. I want it now, and if I can't get it, I'm going to get the government to pass a law so that the government can take it from me. Taxation is covetousness. That's all it is. Desiring to have what your neighbor worked hard to get. And taxation is nothing more than government-endorsed covetousness. Somebody come in here, prove me wrong. It's our number one problem.
You're dead on.
Number one problem.
Dead on. These people, once again,
I may say, where God's law ends, man's ungodly law begins, because covetousness is the love of self. In the last days, men will become what? Lovers of self, mm-hmm. Lustful of the eyes. Where God's law ends, man's unjust law begins.
Amen.
Amen. I was out with my grandson the other day. It was longer than that ago, a couple months ago, maybe it was. And I looked down on the ground. There was a dollar, paper dollar laying on the ground. And I said, David, look, there's a dollar. And he didn't know what a dollar is. He knew it was money. Didn't mean anything to it. And so he reached down and picked it up. I said, David, man, we can buy anything we want to with this thing. This is, you know, people try to get money so they can buy things. And David, we got a dollar. We can go buy an ice cream. He kind of looked at me and smiled. And I said, David, are you happy to find a dollar? He said, yeah, Grampy, I'm happy. And I said, David, I wonder how the person feels who lost it. Because that dollar belonged to somebody and they lost it and it ended up on the ground. I wonder how they feel, David. Are they looking for that dollar? And you could see the color sort of drain out of his face as he thought about it. See, we are naturally designed to covet and think, boy, is this my good fortune? Somebody lost a $10 bill and I found one. Boy, that's the way we naturally think, isn't it? We don't naturally think, oh, somebody lost this. Doggone. What if this was their last dollar? The heart of man's evil, folks. Jesus said it's deceitfully wicked above all things. And all of us love the covetousness. Interesting. Me, I'm talking about. Hang on, Benny. Hang on. I was all for government schools when my kids were in it. I was all for school levies passing so everybody else would pay for my child, for my child's education. And I said, well, it's important. We have an obligation to train our children. Come on. You got to chip in here. These are government. These are community schools. These are best for our community. And then when I no longer had kids in school, I thought, why am I paying all these taxes to educate kids? Because public education is simply covetousness. Made some school teachers mad the other day. And they were complaining about how hard it was being home, closed down the schools, and now they were having to do it on Zoom meetings and everything. I said, dude, you're still getting paid. What the heck? What's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? Then I saw another school teacher said, how come all the businesses are getting a bailout, but the schools aren't? See, it's covetousness, right? Here's what I want. You pay for it. Oh, I didn't marry my neighbor's fatherless. You mean to tell me there's a woman living next door and she has three children and they're poor? And I can't go help them myself, so I'll have the government do it. I'll have the government come and rob money from me because they want it. That's covetousness, folks. It's wicked. It's deceitfully wicked above all things. That's what we're dealing with in America.
It is.
Go ahead, Vinny.
It is, Coach. I told you at the time, I did a double shift and then got on a bus full of people. And then four stops later, a guy ran on a bus looking for his wallet. I had his wallet, and I gave it to him. He had $500. He had just cashed his check, and I didn't miss it because it didn't belong to me. I gave it to him smiling, and I was happy that he got it back.
Hey, you know, praise the Lord for that. Appreciate knowing that, Vinny. Well, I found a wallet in a driveway of a drive-through restaurant once. Evidently, somebody was sitting on their car, and they drove off, and they forgot their wallet was on their car, and it ended up in the driveway. And I picked it up, had a lot of money in it. Had about $6 worth of change in it. It was a girl's wallet, you know. And so I found the information about who's belonged to and everything, got on the internet and found their phone number, called them and told them I had the wallet. And they asked, they were so profusely thankful and everything. And so I mailed the wallet back, but the change I did not mail back. I used the change money to pay for mailing the wallet back to them because the change was really heavy and it was going to cost extra money, quite a bit of extra money to mail that wallet back to them. And you know, when they got the wallet, they called me back and cussed me out for keeping the change.
Hmm. Davy Crockett. You guys ever heard that? Born on a mountaintop in Tennessee. Green estate in the land of the free. Raised in the woods so he knew every tree. Killed him a bear when he was only three. Davy, you guys remember him, right? Did you know Davy Crockett was a member of Congress? You know, Davy Crockett said, I'm reading it right now. It's a brainy quote. In fact, maybe I ought to send it to Sheldon so he can get it up there for us real quick. Hang on with me. Somebody else come in there while I get this to Sheldon, because I want you guys all to see this.
Well, a lot of people, we've all forgotten our old folkhood heroes. Davy Crockett, Jim Bowie, you know?
Yeah. The story
goes that Crockett was one of the first to vote and champion a government bailout. I wish I had the facts on that, but I remember reading that about a year ago, and his constituents challenged him on it. So, yeah, Davy was in Congress.
Yeah, Davy was in Congress. Well, but here's what I think is a pretty profound quote, and it's really kind of the point that I'm trying to make here this morning, because this is also why we're in a mess. You have it there, Sheldon? Did you get it? Okay, Sheldon's going to throw it up on the screen for us, because this is what's happened to us. Whoops. How'd that get in there? Just type in Davy Crockett, D-A-D-A-V, Davy. And that's got to be Y. Well, no hey, E, no E.
You know what's happening right now?
I can't believe it. This irritates me. I sent you I'm not mad at you, Sheldon. I sent you the exact link. Oh, my goodness.
Hey, Coach, you know,
yes.
What's happening right now is a perfect example of where our brains are not on the right track sometimes. Davy Crockett was mentioned as a subject.
There it is.
Now, somebody comes up and says that Davy Crockett was one of the first ones to vote for government stealing money from one person and giving it to another or something like that. And I might mention that Davy Crockett was a one-term member of the House of Representatives, and he hated his job so much there, and he thought it was so crooked and so vile that he ran off to the Alamo and got himself killed to get away from Congress. We're well over 100 and some odd years beyond when he was here, and we really don't know his motivations of why he did what when. But yet we're all ready to jump on a platform and promote our version of what we think he thought about things. I need to stop doing that so much.
Well, we all do, and I don't think Mark was being disparaging towards him at all. Yeah, actually, Larry, you were wrong. It was two. He died in 1836. It's almost 200 years ago. Davy Crockett said, "We have the right as individuals to give away as much of our own money as we please in charity. But as members of Congress, we have no right to appropriate a dollar of public money." And see, we promote covetousness, folks. That's all government's about right now, is meeting the covetous needs of people. I don't know how I got on this. I'm going to get off of it. But again, it comes back to the mic drop moment that Dennis Prager had. I told you last week or earlier this week, that all of our problems would go away if we taught our children the Ten Commandments. If we just taught our children the Ten Commandments. And so we're finding the nature of man. I came across something pretty profound. This is a Flea Flicker Friday. And I'd really like it to be, but I got some stuff I gotta cover real quick. Stephanie College's dad died. Sorry, Steph. Sorry to see that. And just pray that he found his way back to the Lord before that happened. So our thoughts, prayers with you, because I know that's a painful thing. And I'm going to go to Lincoln, Nebraska. So the show's over, jumping on a plane, going to Lincoln, Nebraska for a rally out there, and haven't traveled in about, that's been a while. Not because I'm afraid to travel, but just because there was no place to travel to. So world's coming alive again. We're getting out. We're moving, doing some other things, and just be in prayer for me. First of the month, our donations have been down. That's all I'm going to say about it, man. If you can help us out, we sure would appreciate it. Sure would appreciate it. I'm so sick of the racism. I'm so sick of it. And I really think I don't want to make this show all about that again, because it is Flea Flicker Friday. But I have to tell you this, folks. we have to begin to take the racism issue head on. And we'll show you some things here that I don't know about you, just made me want to throw up. Do you guys know that that in the Civil War, the war between the states, war of northern aggression, whatever you want to call it, I came across a stat today that kind of blew me away. See, the judgments of the Lord are swift and sure. I think it's Amos said that. And the judgment on America over slavery occurred in the Civil War, where nearly 600,000, maybe 750,000 soldiers died. Now, we know it wasn't just about slavery. It was over, some say over states' rights, and slavery got mixed into it, and yada, yada, yada. Slavery was a way of life in America. It's a way of life. And so, you know, for us to sit here and try to cast aspersions and think we understood what it was like to be alive in the early 1860s when black people were actually like mules. We saw them as farm implements. And understand how long it took for that mindset to change, to really, really understand. I don't think any of us look at blacks as farm implements anymore, tractors and trailers and mules. I don't think we do anymore. But the judgment of the Civil War was swift, 750,000. Let's look at a statistic right here. Think about this. 10%, this says, 10% of all white men aged 20 to 40, 10%. Of northern white men died in that war, 10%. How about this one? 30% of all white men aged 18 to 40, one out of every three white men in the South died. Think about that. And for us to sit here and think that, slavery wasn't dealt with, we never really dealt with slavery, well, we did. And now we're into another type of get people on the plantation and other people not being allowed to leave the plantation. I was very, 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 very discouraged yesterday when I saw that Drew Brees, click on Drew Brees. What is it about white guilt? What is it, folks?
Drew Brees is about money.
Drew Brees. Listen, folks. Drew Brees, for those of you who haven't followed, this is probably Dale Socia's hero, and I like Drew Brees as well, Dale. I thought he's a stand-up guy. And Drew Brees made a statement the other day that he would never, ever approve of somebody disrespecting the American flag. He said, my grandfather fought for that flag. My father fought for that flag. Other members of my family fought for that flag. And to disrespect the flag is disrespecting my heritage, and I'll never be with those who disrespect the flag. I thought, amen. Amen. Sounds normal to me. And then, of course, we know what happened. They turned the race hustlers loose on him and began to call him all kinds of names, because heaven forbid he would ever be white and proud of his heritage. We can't have that. Can't be having that. And so some of his teammates, they were upset and blah, 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 blah. And so here's Drew Brees' response to what he said about his father and his grandfather. Go ahead and play that, Sheldon. Hang on a minute, Sheldon. Folks. Drew Brees is quarterback for the New Orleans Saints, probably a Hall of Fame quarterback, for those of you who don't follow sports. Go ahead.
I know there's not much that I can say that would make things any better right now, but I just want you to see in my eyes how sorry I am for the comments that I made yesterday. I know that it hurt many people, especially friends, teammates, former teammates, loved ones, people that I care and respect deeply. That was never my intention. I wish I would have laid out what was on my heart in regards to the George Floyd murder, Ahmaud Arbery, the years and years of social injustice, police brutality, and the need for so much reform and change in regards to legislation and so many other things to bring equality to our black communities. I am sorry, and I will do better, and I will be part of the solution, and I am your ally. And I know no words will do that justice. That's going to have to be.
Can somebody tell me how I or Drew Brees or anybody works to bring somebody help me out here. Am I missing something? Am I missing something? Am I so insensitive that I'm? What's Drew Brees apologizing for? See, folks, here's the way you offer an apology. Okay, if you say something that you believe in, when the people get mad at you, you say, "Listen, I'm sorry if what I said offended you, but I stand by that. And my intention was not to hurt you or anyone else, but I have deeply held beliefs just like you do. And I'm sorry if you don't agree with them." Yeah, that's the way you apologize, folks. That's the way you do it.
Yeah, he doesn't apologize for the content of his apology. There's nothing he said that was wrong. It's ridiculous.
But Vinny, why do we live? I'm not done. Why do we live in a culture and a society where we feel that this is necessary? That now he'll be accepted because he said he was sorry. Sorry for what? Saying that he was proud of his father and proud of his grandfather and proud of every American who died for that. He has to apologize for that? I'm sorry, I was insensitive? What?
No, Coach, once you apologize, you have opened the door to be attacked forever.
That's right. You're guilty.
Amen, Vinny. He just opened the door for future manipulation. Every time somebody thinks they want some of Drew Brees' money, they will think of a racial thing to come up and approach him with and make him feel guilty so he will come up with the money. He put himself in the crosshairs.
Dale Socia down there in New Orleans. I wonder how much money Drew Brees has already given in outreach to New Orleans over the years. Much of it, I'm sure, going to black causes. Am I missing something, Dale?
No, but I'm about to paste something in your link here that I don't know if you want to show this, but these people I met last year in Wisconsin. These are two black ladies from New York City. And boy, she calls out the white people for not standing up, basically what Drew Brees was doing. And I said, look, Drew Brees is a great guy. He's done a lot for the community. It's an amazing thing. He stands in the midst on a football field against a defensive adversity. But as a Christian, he is a coward.
He's a coward. And you know what else, Dale? Those guys in that locker room, they love Drew Brees. And to allow for some of his friends to say, "Drew, we always loved you. We always respected you. But now, what? Drew, we don't love you anymore because you don't think exactly like us. You are white and you need to apologize, Drew." That's what they're saying, right, folks? Hey, is anybody reading it any differently than that?
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
He was cyberbullied is what it was. I mean, the thing about it is this. What he said, I read the statement. He didn't say anything racist. It's just got some sensitive black men that haven't grown up and who think everybody's out there, everybody's evil and racist. And that's just not true.
It's not true at all. It comes back to my narrative, Paul. What? Maybe I didn't say this. Can somebody tell me what was Al Sharpton doing speaking at that funeral yesterday?
Racist Alan Sharpton.
Folks, if we don't get what's going on there. Hey, I'm not done yet. Stay with me. Hey, go click. Here's a better one, okay? Here's a better one, friends. Click on kneeling, Sheldon. Kneeling. Click on that. I'm sorry if I'm still on this one. We got to stab racism in the heart. But we got to stab it in the heart.
That link that I shared, if you don't show it afterwards, I'm telling you, brother, it is a atomic bomb.
We'll get it next. Sheldon, you know what he's talking about? The one he's got there in the chat. Play this one. Now, folks, white parishioners kneel down and ask for forgiveness. This is the attitude of our churches, see. Now, Vinny, help me out. Paul. I don't think I've ever seen. Oh, I got to be careful because it's going to end up on white right wing watch. Say,
this is the most pathetic thing I've ever seen. And okay. It's absolutely useless. It's useless.
Hang on a minute. I don't think I've ever, Vinny, Paul, anybody else who's watching right now, I don't think I've ever received one apology ever from any black person for all the money that the government gave to the black community that guys took and spent on drugs. I don't think I ever received one apology for that. Now, I don't think Paul did that, and I don't think Vinny did that, so I wouldn't expect them to have to apologize because they didn't do it. But you would agree with me, wouldn't you, that a lot of government dollars went into the black community and spent on drugs and prostitution? Yes or no? Does anybody else do you have been apologized to that for that? Your hard-working dollars being taken by you and spent frivolously on sin? Has anybody, huh? Anybody ever do? See, I'm not allowed to say that, am I? I'm not allowed to say that. I'm the guy that did wrong. I'm the guy. So here are these great Christian people. Watch this. Makes me want to vomit.
You know, Chris put in the chat, not every white person is racist. Blacks are just as racist. It's not even that deep. People are people.
That's right.
It's just ridiculous.
I ain't got time to hate black people. I ain't got time. I don't have time to do it. Click on. Why, watch this. I'm sorry. We're having trouble getting it up. We probably don't need to see it anyway. Turns my stomach. Click there.
Society no longer can be here. In honor of his legacy, we're not rioting, God. We're not shaming anybody, God. We're just humbling ourselves before you.
Yes, Lord.
You brought the thunder and rain today, God, because Satan takes the L today. Father, in Jesus' name, you get the victory. Father, we ask for forgiveness from our black brothers and sisters for years and years of racism, of systematic racism.
Am I insensitive here? Hey, folks, no. Listen, I want you to look at me right now. I've never been racist to anybody ever in my life, and I refuse to apologize. I've never been racist to anybody ever in my life. Wait a minute. I got a few white boys I don't like. Got a few white boys I don't like. But I never, ever in my life, I've never, ever, 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 ever done anything wrong to a black person on purpose, ever.
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
You're falling in that trap again. There is no such thing as racism.
That's right.
That's a made-up word.
That's right.
Exactly.
And that's exactly what people need to realize. We need to stop falling for their trap. Because he who controls the words controls the debate. And that's what's going on.
Look at these gloating black goons. Look at them gloat as these people prostrate themselves in front of them. They gloat.
Hang on. I'm not done yet, folks. I'm not done yet. Do me a favor, Sheldon. Click on it. Says Sharpton. Sharpton. Now, folks, now let's not lose. I'm taking this racism thing head on. I don't care. Right wing watch. I don't care how. I don't care. I don't care what they say about me. Not a racist bone in my body. Not a racist bone in my. First of all, as Paul said, it ain't anything. There ain't no such thing as racism. There isn't anything. But I'm not going to sit back quietly and watch people grovel over something they did not do. I won't be part of it.
Show that video, Coach.
So, okay, hang on. I'm coming, Dale. I'll come. I want to go here first. Al Sharpton yesterday. At George Floyd's funeral. Al Sharpton. I'm going to say it again. Al Sharpton. Now, we're talking about a group of people who got mad because the president showed up outside of the church holding a Bible. They went on and on and on about that. And then they bring this race pimp into the middle of a funeral where our tensions are already high, right? But they wouldn't turn it into a political event. Well, no, they wouldn't do that. No way they would do that. Scroll down, Sheldon. Scroll on down there and see if we can't find old, loving Al. Tell me, hey, tell me if Al Sharpton turned this into a political event or not. Wake up, people. Wake up. Wake up. Divide and conquer. Divide and conquer. Divide and conquer. Race, 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 race. Group identity. Blacks, whites. Can't you see? Can't you see? Stand up and speak up. Watch this race, pimp. Go ahead. At a funeral.
Yeah, I saw
hang
somebody.
On, hang on, hang on, hang on. At a funeral in which a nation is on fire over racism, made up racism, and watch what this reverend does. Go ahead.
Standing in front of a church the other day would had been boarded up as a result of violence, held the Bible in his hand. I've been preaching since I was a little boy. I never seen anyone hold a Bible like that, but I'll leave that alone. But since he held the Bible, if he's watching us today, I would like him to open that Bible. And I'd like him to read Ecclesiastes 3. To every season, there's a time and a purpose. And I think that it is our job to let the world know when we see what is going on in the streets of this country and in Europe, around the world, that you need to know what time it is. First of all, we cannot use Bibles as a prop. And for those that have agendas that
are not
about justice,
no, he don't have one.
Will not let you use George as a prop.
That is one of the most despicable things I have ever seen. It's despicably wicked. If you can't see the manipulation, who would invite that? Hey, folks, he's the one that goes by Reverend. Reverend. Who's more righteous, Al Sharpton or Donald Trump?
I'm going with Trump.
Huh? Well, you guys are just saying that because you're white. You just think you're white. Has there been anybody do more damage to America than Al Sharpton?
No, and his buddy,
the Reverend Jesse Jackson. Why do they put Reverend on front of their name unless they're using it as a prop? Folks, we got to call this stuff out. Sheldon, click on Dale, what Dale had to play there. Can you get that there in the chat? Pull it up.
While you're waiting for that, Al Sharpton has a big, huge, very expensive vacation home on Polly's Island right south of Myrtle Beach here. After Hurricane Hugo, I worked for a company and I put in the new heating and air conditioning system that was just torn out of from under his last house. And Al Sharpton is one nasty, vindictive, angry man. He didn't treat any of the workers, even the black ones, with any respect whatsoever.
Gotta be careful,
hey,
Larry.
Coach, that, got a that, question
could,
for
that,
you.
That could be hearsay. That could be hearsay. Go ahead, Jack.
Shouldn't all oppressed people, going by this standard, shouldn't all oppressed people be oppressing for reparations, say, like the Pilgrims?
We should. That's what I said. Yeah. I'm a Melungeon, Jack. I'm a Melungeon.
Well, you were oppressed, so you should be demanding reparations.
That's right.
And I'm Irish, and the Irish were slaves. There was more Irish slaves on the American continent than there ever was Negro or African slaves.
Amen.
I'm going for reparations.
Well, let me give you another one here. Past Assault Ministries, we have to keep voluminous records of how we spend our money. I'd like to have somebody give me an accounting of every dollar that the government sent to individuals around America. I want accountability of how they spent that money. I want to see. Why can't we get that? Why can't they get
right? Make the demand.
I want to see every welfare dollar that was sent into the black community and where that money was spent.
It's missing. All that money's missing. Trillions, right?
Yeah. Where is it? I want to know where you guys get what I'm saying, folks. I'm just trying to point out the double standard that's going on. Wake up, man. Wake up. Don't let them do this anymore. Go ahead and play this.
It's in Maxine Waters' basement.
Yeah, somewhere. No, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the guy on the street who's getting some type of government assistance and then spends that money on drugs. I'm talking about the welfare mother who uses food stamps to buy smokes or booze. That's what I'm talking about. I'd like to see an accounting for it. How come they can get a welfare check from the government and don't have to give an account for it? But you send me $25 and I got to give an account to the government for it. Can somebody explain that to me?
Control, coach. Control.
Oh, yeah, really? Go ahead and play this.
Just play a few minutes of it. You don't got to play all. You'll hear it. Now, this is a black woman who was just arrested out on the plane.
I'm just waiting for a few people to come on. Let me put my phone on Do Not Disturb. Because when I'm on live, people like to call me. I don't know why, but they do. Come on in, it's live. Come on. Hi, y'all. I'm just waiting for a couple more people to get on my live.
Fast forward it then. Fast forward. She's gone for 20-some minutes. Get ahead a little bit.
Let's see what she got to say. You're so bound by color that you can't tell the truth. I have a question. Are you scared of telling me the truth because I'm black? If I'm wrong, are you scared to tell me because I'm black? Shouldn't you just tell me that I'm wrong? If you know that what I'm saying and the things I believe in have discrepancies, do you feel bound by your own skin color that you can't tell me the truth? Huh? I like to know that. I don't understand why we are not waking up. And I'm addressing the white conservatives first, because I feel like you guys have already kind of taken a stance, a conservative stance, to really stand in truth. And now all of a sudden, I'm seeing a lot of you backing out. I'm seeing a lot of people being bound by their skin color to where they can't tell the truth because they have a certain color of their skin.
Yep.
I'm not understanding that. White people, why? Do you know this is a disjustice to us? Do you know that you're helping? You're just as bad as the white liberal when you feel intimidated to tell the truth just because you're white. And let me tell you something. Little do you guys know, my great-grandma's white on my mom's side. My great-grandma. So I'm not even fully black, if you want to call it that. I mean, are we really all fully one thing? Can we not just be mixed? And do we not all come from Adam and Eve? Do we not? And Noah and his wife after the flood? I don't understand, why is it that you guys continue to allow bullyism to control you? And if even you have some that are bold enough to come out and say, you know what, this is how I feel, these are my discrepancies, and you're unapologetic about it. But white conservatives, it's time to stop being apologetic. You need to be unapologetic. You should not be bound by your skin color to the reason why you can't tell someone the truth, okay? Listen, that's an injustice to us. We need to hear the truth. We live off of victimization. We are fed by victimization. We cannot afford it anymore. Our country cannot afford it. When are you people going to wake up and realize that truth is what sets us free? When you have the fear of man, it is a snare to your own self. That's what God says. Fear of man is a snare to you. And so now, not only is it a snare to you, it's going to be a snare to someone else, because you're not telling the truth. And then you're trying to justify. Okay, and why are you trying to justify?
Dale, that's really good. See, it's a soft bigotry of low expectations. And they have told white America that black America cannot make it without white America helping her. That's just unbelievable. Can you imagine going to LeBron James and telling LeBron James he can't make it without whitey helping him? It's soft bigotry of low expectations. Can we be honest that the real bigotry in America is we've taught blacks that they can't make it without whites, and we've taught whites that blacks can't make it without whites. That's what we've taught them. We've taught blacks that they cannot be independently self-sustaining. They can't do it without whitey in the government. and blacks are convinced of it, and now whites are saying, golly, sorry, we didn't give you enough stuff. That's what's going on.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Professor Walter Williams, who sometimes subs for Rush Limbaugh, said one time, and he's actually said several times, that if he was a racist, instead of oppressing the black people outright with clubs and Ku Klux Klan stuff, he would do exactly what is being done now. Give them welfare, give them all these goodies from the public trough, and keep them dependent. And he said that is the ultimate racism, or words to that effect.
That is the ultimate one. That is. Hey, pull it up. And this always gets me in trouble. Oh, no, let's not go there. Let's go to Candace Owens. Click on Candace Owens, because it's the exact same thing. Folks, listen to me. Listen to me. I don't care what they call me. It isn't true. And you would be surprised how often I get an email from some ministry because they watched something that Right Wing Watch had posted about me, and they want to know if I'm really racist and if I really I'm talking about other Christians, folks. Now, Candace Owens, this is worth watching, but just go to about the 10 minute mark and just watch what Candace click. Yeah, just click on that and go to about the 10 minute mark. This girl's got some stones. That's good. Start there.
His first name is David, who was shot and killed for trying to protect a pawn shop from looters, an upstanding citizen, an actual head of a police. He was the head of a police his entire life, 77 years old, did everything right, right? So we now have to kill upstanding black citizens because a non-upstanding black citizen, a career black criminal, died. Now, did he deserve to die in that manner? No. I can't say it enough. No, he didn't deserve to die in that manner. But I will be damned if the rest of us upstanding black citizens have to suffer because of this incident that rarely ever happens in America. So here are some numbers for you people that are still believing that police brutality is a real, racially motivated police brutality is a real thing. First and foremost, okay, you have a 25% higher chance as a violent white criminal of dying at the hands of a police officer than you do as a black criminal. Last year, a total of 9 unarmed black men were killed by police officers, and 19 white men were killed by police officers. For those of you that aren't good at mathematics, right, you might be thinking, oh, but Candace, white people represent 60% of the population and black people represent just 13% of the population. It doesn't matter what percentage of the population you represent. It matters what percentage of the violent criminal community you represent. And unfortunately, black community commits a disproportionate amount of crimes compared to the white community. Let me tell you, 6% of the population, right? Black men, 6% of the population account for 44% of all murders in this country, according to 2018 statistics. That is what you call a gap. And yet white people who represent 60% of the population, we represent 13, black men are 6%, only represent 50% of all the murders, right? That makes no sense. That makes no sense. A 6-point variation in a community where we are extreme minorities. We commit 50% of all violent offenses, evenly split, and we're only 13% of the population, okay? So we have a lot more encounters with police officers. And don't say the police officers are coming around because we're black. I'm talking about violent criminals. I'm talking about murder, 44% of murders, okay? You want to talk about real statistics? The police officers have way more to be fearful of in the black community than the other way around, okay? We commit, on average, a police officer is 18 and a half times more likely to be killed by a black person than the other way around, okay? So this entire narrative is complete smoke and mirrors. It's all made up. It's just election fodder. It's white versus black because it's an election year, not because black Americans are suffering at the hands of police officers more than white Americans. Do some police officers do the wrong thing? Yes. I don't think there's anybody in the world.
Okay. Okay. Click it off. Click it off. So again, folks, I'm sorry I'm camping on this morning. Okay. I went and saw my, some of you know, took my grandchildren on Memorial Day to see my great-grandfather's grave. My great-grandfather's grave. My dad's dad. I took my grandkids to his grave. George Dobenmeyer laying in that grave. I don't have any idea what he struggled through. I have no idea. I know. I bet it was quite a struggle. I bet it was. Didn't have any internet back then. Didn't have any welfare. I bet he had 9 children. I bet something. But here I am, 3 generations removed, and I'm doing pretty good. I'm doing pretty good. And you want me to believe that a Black American born at that same time, 4 generations ago, hasn't had the ability to pull himself up by his bootstraps? Go back 60 years, the civil rights movement, 60 years. That's at least 3, maybe 4 generations. 4 generations later, they're still blaming me? Folks, come on, man. Come on. And we've got to quit buying into it. Hey, how about this? You know what the leading cause of family, what's the word I want to say? Fatherless homes. Fatherless homes. Hey, Black America, White America, Green America, Blue America, you want to try to restore America? Marry the mother of your children. Stay married.
Malachi 4:6.
Why won't we just say that? Why won't we just say that?
Hey, Coach, let's take it one step further. Why don't we just say, hey, girls, stop having babies before you're married?
Well, that would make sense. Now, wait a minute, Larry. I'm going to confess. I got some people close to me that aren't married that ain't living right. So I'm not casting my stones at Black folk. There's a lot of white fornication going on. There's a lot of wedlock sex going on. There's a lot of it going on, huh? Just go to the abortion clinic. You see the fruit of that, right?
Coach, yesterday at an abortion clinic, we had an 18-year-old that we taught for about 5 minutes. She had 2 abortions by the age of 18.
Mm. No daddy, I'm sure. No daddy. Or
daddy was right there with it. He said, my father told me to be a man. I said, you're not being a man.
Hey, I have an idea. How about Planned Parenthood actually plan and help parents be parents?
Well, we know that on the left, it's never what they say it is. Never is.
Malachi 4:6 says, return the father's hearts to their children, yep, and the children's, yep, hearts to the father.
Lest I come and spice the earth with a curse.
That's exactly what's happening, Coach. This is what's happening. Fatherless. It's not just a white thing, Black thing. It is a world thing. And because of that, the government says, we'll raise your children. You just, and I'm telling you, God is smiting the land with a curse.
He's smiting it. The church is disintegrating. Why is the church disintegrating? Because men aren't going to church. Men aren't going to church. Church is run by women. Christianity's become womanly. We need to make Christianity manly again. We need to do that, right? We need to do that. How many of, well, hey, this one always gets me in trouble, but I just got to kind of play it today because I want to play it today. Sheldon, go down there. It says, it's right below Drew Brees. It says Ali. And I've shown this before. This is Muhammad Ali talking about interracial marriage. Now, listen, every time I talk about this, people send me emails. Are you against interracial marriage? As if it matters. As if that's even the point I'm talking about. That's not the point I'm talking about. I'm trying to show you this from Muhammad Ali to show you that some things, some opinions, some positions people have cross racial barriers. This is not a racial issue. This is a human nature issue. Remember I told you a couple days ago when I coached football, we had great team chemistry, Black guys, white guys in the huddle together.
But when we went to eat or we went to watch a junior high game, the black guys always sat by themselves. They sat together. They weren't racist. That was their buddies. That's who they grew up with. So here's Muhammad Ali on racial integration. Long time ago. A long time. Hey, pastors, please don't send me emails and ask me, are you against interracial marriage? Don't leave me alone, will you? Just leave me alone. You can't even think. Go ahead.
Say integration, it comes on the inner marriage too, right? All right. Been together.
Right, sure.
And I'm sure no intelligent white person watching this show, or no intelligent white man in his or her right white mind, want black boys and black girls marrying their white sons and daughters, and in return introducing their grandchildren as half brown, kinky haired black people.
I wouldn't object to that.
Well, you wouldn't, but a lot of them would.
Well, I'm sure a lot of people. No, this is the point.
What I'm trying to say is this. And you don't have it. You say you don't, but you don't have it. You really ain't gonna have it. You're on the show, and you got to say that.
But that's not true.
Why would you want to do that?
Because I don't think I'm any different from you, you see.
Yeah, we much different.
That's, I mean, I think society's made us different.
You know we're different. We're all together.
But society's made us different.
No, not society. God made us different.
No, we're just human beings. He made all of us.
We all, listen, bluebirds fly with bluebirds. Red birds want to be with red birds. Listen, tell me when I'm wrong. Pigeons want to be with pigeons.
But
tell me when
I'm wrong.
We should have. They don't have intelligence, but yet they stay together. We should have more intelligence than them, right? Buzzards are with buzzards. Yeah. Buzzards are with buzzards. Bluebirds are with bluebirds. They all are birds, but they got different cultures. The eagles like to hang out in the mountains. The buzzard like to fly around the desert.
Well,
the bluebird like to fly around the trees and the grass.
There'd be certain problems, a buzzard mating with a sparrow, wouldn't there?
What?
There'd be certain...
Right. And that's, I mean, we have the problems, too. I don't see no black and white couples in England or America walking around proud holding their children.
That's because society...
And going out.
That's society's fault. We've got to educate people around it.
Well, life is too short for me to be raised catching hell for something like that. I'd rather go and be my own. I have a beautiful daughter, beautiful wife. They look like me. We're all happy, and I don't have no trouble. And I ain't that much in love with no woman to go through all that hell. Ain't no one woman that good. You understand?
I understand, yeah. I understand. I think it's sad that
it ain't sad because I want my child to look like me. Every intelligent person wants his child to look like him. I'm sad because I want to blot out my race and lose my beautiful identity. Chinese love Chinese. They love the little slanted out pretty brown skinned babies. Pakistanis love their culture. Jewish people love their culture. A lot of Catholics don't want to marry number of Catholics. They want the religion to stay the same. Who want to spot up yourself and kill your race? You a hater of your people if you don't want to stay who you are. You shame what God made you. God didn't make no mistake when he made us all like we were.
I think that's a philosophy of despair.
Despair.
I really do.
It ain't no despair. Yeah. Let me tell you something. Listen, no woman on this whole earth, not even a black woman in Muslim countries, can please me and cook for me and socialize and talk to me like my American black woman. No woman, at last, is a white woman. Can really identify with me and my feelings and the way I act and the way I talk. See? And you can't take no Chinese man and give him no Puerto Rican woman and holler about we're in love and you emotionally in love and physically, but really they're not happy because she's going to hear some Puerto Rican music, he's going to hear some Chinese music, and they're going to be clashing all the time. It's just nature. You can do what you want, but it's nature to want to be with your own. I want to be with my own. I love my people. That's all. I don't hate nobody.
Okay, now, listen, here's my question. When I play this video, why do pastors, do-gooders, email me and ask me if I'm racist? He's the one that's racist. I'm just playing to show you that this idea of racism isn't just a white man thing.
Right. No, Coach, they're betraying their own racism. That's all it is. That's what they're doing.
My goodness. See, it's culture. It's culture and it's heritage.
It's called deflection. They're trying to deflect onto you what they know is wrong in their life.
It's virtue signaling, right? It's virtue signaling. Good person because I don't have a problem with black people and white people. I'm a good person. It's virtue signaling, folks.
And it was also Ali, along with Malcolm X, that said there's nothing no more dangerous on earth than a white liberal.
Amen. Amen. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
Say that again.
There's nothing.
I said Ali and Malcolm X both parroted the same comment. There's nothing more dangerous on earth than the white liberal.
That is one we all need to remember.
Mm-hmm. Because they want to make everybody else okay. They want to make everybody else okay. They don't listen, folks. God haters don't want to live and let live. They don't want to do that. God haters, where the spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty, right? God haters don't want liberty. God haters want to tell you where to go, what to think, how to dress, who to love, who not to love. God haters are not for liberty. Please understand that. They act like they are, but they're not. They're not, folks. They're not for liberty. They're not. Hey, folks, listen. I have a right to be a bigot. I have a right. I'm not, but I have a right to. Just, can somebody show me where it says it's against the law to be a bigot? Can somebody point that out to me? I'm not a bigot. You know who's a bigot? Those people, Al Sharpton's a bigot. The bigots are those people who think that blacks can't take care of themselves and they have to take money from me to give it to them. Those are the bigots. Blacks can't pull themselves up by this. They can't do it. They just can't make it. Huh? You think, hey folks, you think I can get into Harvard? Think my kids can get into Harvard? No. Why? Because Harvard's the most bigoted place you could ever get. If you're not rich and white and connected to some family. Oh man, that's bigotry. Can just anybody walk into Harvard and Dartmouth and Yale? No. Why? Because it's bigotry. It's white bigotry. It's white bigotry at other white people. They want to be able to see, folks, there's nothing. Bigotry is a human trait. And how we use that bigotry. When you walk out your door and you walk into Walmart, you mean to tell me you don't look around Walmart and in your mind say, oh, gee, glad I don't act like that. No, you mean you don't walk into Walmart and think maybe you're above another white person? You tell me that? You walk in there and you see some great big old fat lady who doesn't have any teeth. You think she's on the same level with you? You liar. You're a liar. You're a damn liar. It's the heart, folks. The heart is deceitfully wicked above all things. And what they've done is they've used race as the thing that divides us most. And dare I say it, the church is right in the middle of it.
Amen, Coach.
Amen. White churches and black churches and Baptist churches and Lutheran churches. Do you think the Lutherans think they're better than the Baptists? Do you think the Baptists think they're better than the Catholics? Do you think the Catholics think that they're better than the Episcopalians? Do you think the Episcopalians think they're better than those tongue talkers? Folks, bigotry is part of life. It's everywhere. It's part of life. A lot of times it's ignorance based on ignorance, but bigotry is part of life. Sheldon, I just got a minute. Go to Webster. Look up bigotry. Look it up. What is bigotry? You're allowed to be a bigot. B-I-G-O-T-R-Y, I think it is. O-O-O-T. No, B-A-I-G-O-T-R-Y. Bigot. Bigotry. Click on it. It is the practice or tenet of being a bigot. Go back to bigot, if you could. I'm sorry. Folks, we got to take this stuff head on. We got to quit letting everybody else dictate the words to us. What's a bigot? It's a person who's obstinately and unreasonably wedded to a particular religion, creed, opinion, practice, or ritual. That's a bigot. The word is sometimes used in a large sense for a person who's illiberally attached to an opinion. See, leftists who think that blacks cannot make it on their own are bigots. They're the bigots, folks. They're a person who's obstinately, unreasonably wedded to a particular religious creed, opinion, practice, or ritual, right? Al Sharpton is the bigot because he thinks I don't like black people. He's the bigot. Folks, he's the bigot, not me. My goodness, God help us. God help us. Hey, so listen, only the truth will set us free. Only Jesus Christ. Folks, there's only two races, those racing for heaven and those racing for hell. And there's nothing that bothers me any more than to see Christians buy into the whole race charade. God help us. God help us. Divide and conquer, the oldest trick in the book. Hey, I'm going to be in Omaha or Lincoln or wherever I'm going to be. Won't be able to do a show on Sunday morning. Just don't know the setup. So we won't have one on Sunday. Otherwise, JR is on tomorrow at 10. Let him straighten you out. I'll see the rest of you Monday morning. God bless you. Bluebirds and redbirds and whitebirds and greenbirds. Buzzards.